We left our home state back in July, and it's been an up and down roller coaster this entire time. God took us to leave what was familiar with only enough money at the time for one night at a hotel. And everything else has been totally by faith and with just enough light for each step. And we've had to follow him through this narrow, winding trail to where he said will be the place where my hopes are fulfilled and made tangible. And even in the times that seemed utterly unsurvivable, God would show up to deliver the funds that we would need for our room, our food, and the other bills that seemed to always be growing like moss under a tree. The weather started to turn bitterly cold in this new state where God has taken us, and that makes it a lot more scary when you're in an unfamiliar place with nobody around. I was worn out from being lashed with the waves of constant onslaught, and my faith was feeling really weak. Yet if there's ever a time that I needed God's promise of room, support, and coverage for needs to be tangible, it was during this season. I could no longer afford to have doubt. I felt like I was on my last thread of hope because living through dangers and having my faith stretched was very tiring. But I had learned that when you're holding your last thread of hope, it's time to learn to sew. It was nearly time for our reservation to end, and I just didn't have the strength or stamina to press my faith. At the same time, the thought of going through the pain of what we went through before was something I couldn't even think about without feeling nauseous or even crying. And I was at a crossroads and I needed to choose. Will I give up or will I hold on to my hope? Naturally, since our lives depended on it, I chose to hold on to hope in God's promises and in the plans that He has made for us through this path. There was so much uncertainty about what would happen when the reservation would end, and that uncertainty was a breeding ground for doubt. So I took my last thread of hope and I started very small. Because when you don't have faith and fears are present, the best thing you can do is go to your hope. I made God a list of my hopes and I called them my hope prayers. I numbered each prayer, and the first prayer was that I hope we can extend the room and stay longer. After I made my hope prayer list, I made an alter ego list of my fears, and I gave God my fears of those hopes not coming true. Then I started to only think about what I hoped to happen, and like crossing a thread over and over itself, I only thought about my hopes. The tiny thread of hope grew stronger and stronger, and eventually I was bursting with strong faith. I ended up in a place of excitement and joy because I knew God would do what I hoped. And after I endured the process of growing my hopes with confident faith, God knocked on the door with a tangible answer to my hopes. Someone reached out to me and offered to pay our hotel room for 2 more weeks, and that was almost $1,500 worth of love support from God. It was such a huge relief and blessing, and God did just as I hoped. I was also drowning in so many needs that I had been accumulating for months and months. So many of my bills were put on the back burner, and our clothes were falling apart from the wear and tear of the journey we were on. My needs and oddball bills were incredibly huge, and it looked impossible to ever get them fulfilled. I felt like I was so hungry because we needed so much. My phone was nearly $400 on its own, and we needed winter things like boots and, well, you catch my drift by now. One night I was sleeping and God gave me a vision of one of my payment processors offering me a loan, and in the vision I saw the number clearly, and then I clicked accept. By faith, I accepted that it was a promise, and I wrote that I hoped to have that loan in my hope prayer list. I went through the process that I'm leaving after this, after I share the story, and I used my little breadcrumb of hope to start with. Every day I tried to see if the loan would be offered to me, but it was denied every time. It would give me the excuse that I was not eligible. Yet one day, it was different. I opened the page for the loan and it invited me to apply. I applied and I tried not to allow myself to fear. I held hope like a balloon in my heart while I applied, and then I was accepted. Within seconds, that money was transferred to my account and God had fulfilled the dream promise. The unusual blessing soaked up our needs really fast because when you're traveling and living like this, the needs are so much bigger than when we were in the same place like last winter. But that's what makes miracles, is when you have impossible looking situations. I think that is what makes this journey so scary though, is because it's always a choice to choose hope instead of fear. And when you choose hope, that is when the miracles appear. I was already bone dry, out of money again, and the room reservation was about to be over. When I was praying about what God had planned for us, He led me to think about what I hoped to happen. I really hoped that we could stay longer, and so I put extend our room again on my hope prayer list. And within only a few days, God moved through my hopes again. He sent someone to pay for our room for another 2 weeks, and that was almost another $1,500. I wish I could share with you the level of relief that this brought me, because things look very dangerous at the moment. It's been in the negatives outside, and my car wouldn't start because of the cold. It may even need some service. So we're stuck, and there's nowhere to go, no way to go anywhere, and I hoped with all my heart that God would extend the room, and that's what He did. And now I'm hoping for car-related things too, but that's another different post that I will share at a different time. For days, God has been telling me to write out some of my hope-growing process with you so that you can be blessed by tangible hopes too. It may be something that would help someone. And so I made a list of some of the things that God has taught me through this journey, and I pray as a blessing to someone. Thank you for listening to this little clip of my journey, and I hope you enjoy and are blessed by these hope notes. I'm going to share them as a numbered list. Number one, prepare the space, like clearing tables of old dishes and wiping the surface clean. Be real and honest with God. If you are mad or frustrated, tell Him. Pour your heart out to Him and get your grievances off your chest, but then leave them there and consider them gone and taken care of. Number two. Let go of what is blocking you from opening your heart to receive. Give fears, worries, and doubts to God. Release any limiting beliefs that causes you to doubt that this could happen for you. Let go of the past pain and disappointments. Choose to release the past and trust God to make things new. Have confident hope that things will be new now and not like what you suffered before. Number three, come clean about your own problems that could be preventing you from seeing your hopes fulfilled. Ask God to show you anything that needs to be washed away. Repent for any areas that need to be addressed, like sweeping dirt off of the floor. For me, it was self-pity. I felt sorry for myself for what I've had to go through, even though it was a choice to follow God. Also, forgive those that have hurt you and release them of those offenses and give them charges to God and, if possible, make peace. Number four, plant seeds for beauty. Think constant positive thoughts. What you give focus to is what heats up and expands in your life. Your beliefs are simply thoughts that you keep thinking, so teach yourself to believe in the outcomes that you hope to happen by only thinking about what is a lovely and good report. Number 5. Make sure you don't plant bad things to receive. Don't think about fears. Don't imagine fears. The best thing you can do is not to entertain any fear at all. Never think about anything you don't want to go through. The thoughts that we think often orchestrate the way things will be, like planting a good seed or a bad seed. You can have faith in your fears too, and people can make their fears manifest just like they can make their faith manifest. It's an agreement. It's what you believe and what you choose. Number 6. Make an agreement with hope. It's all about agreement. You can agree with hope, or you can agree with fear or suffering. It is sowing and reaping. If you plant negative thoughts, like negative beliefs, then you'll receive negative things. So plant your hopes, and like Elizabeth Elliot so perfectly said, don't dig up in doubt what you have planted in faith. Number 7. Give the Lord whatever you can financially and as often as possible. Generous givers receive generosity into their lives. Giving is a form of worship and trust in God. So don't be stingy or greedy with whatever God has placed in your hands. Giving is the gateway to receiving. Number 8. Make your vision free of doubt through details. The absence of clarity brings confusion and doubt. So eliminate all uncertainty by making a detailed vision and clear request to God. Fill in the colors and go deep into your dreams. Make the details clear of what you want to see. The more details that you bring to the vision of what you hope to see, the more clarity you'll see. It is also good. It'll help you to lock in to your target and visualize things to be just as you dreamed. Clarity brings confidence and the joy of relief. And once you have a clear vision, you can easily see those things come to fruition. Number 9, make room to receive. Those things that you are hoping for, like an invisible, energetic substance, and they require space to be made for them. Hope big as you expand and make room to receive. If you don't make room, it won't come because there's no place for it to go. Hope stirs you up to expect it and blooms it into full faith that is certain. Hope is what brings those things that you desire out into attainment. Focused thoughts of hope stirs up your faith to believe, and when you believe, then you will receive. Number 10, saturate yourself in your hopes and promises from God in any way possible. Soak your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, in the outcome that you prayed for and in what God promised. I made myself an audio recording of detailed spoken proclamations in present and past tense to the sound of relaxing music that I would listen to over and over. That filled up so much space in my life, which left very little room for fear or doubt to distract me. Focus so much on good that there's no room to think about anything bad. Number 11. Speak in past tense in regard to what you hope for being done. If you say anything future tense, it only pushes it away from you. Faith is now. Faith is not future focused. You have to see as though you already have it and speak in past tense. For instance, I am so thankful that God fulfilled my prayer. Number 12. You have to enter like a child playing pretend, as they imagine that they already have what they hope for. You must begin from the end. That is why so many never see fulfillment, because they stay in a place of futuristic waiting instead of full faith to believe that it's already happened. To have a perspective of waiting is to come into agreement with lack and impatience, which is the opposite of faith and trust. The futuristic mindset of waiting only enforces doubt and lack, and it confirms that you don't have it. So you're making agreement with basically the life you already have of not having it. Number 13, exercise your faith by going deep. Imagine and feel like you already have it. A perspective of waiting is coming into agreement that you don't have it, and it actually pushes it back and resists the fulfillment. If you believe that you have received it, then it is yours. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. Number 14. Convince yourself it is certain with self-talk. Like the woman in the Bible with the issue of blood, she said to herself in her thoughts, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." What you say to yourself, whether in word or thought, is powerful. Once you are certain, then you're not feeling separated and impatient. We need to abide in the outcome that we hope to see and rest in our hopes as though they are done. You are connected, not waiting for it to happen. Impatience blocks fulfillment, so keep yourself free from an attitude of impatience. Just rest and trust God to show up. Number 15, allow your faith to be stretched and hold it. This is a stretching of faith, and the hardest part of stretching is holding the position. Sometimes we have to hold the stretch way longer than it is comfortable. Hold on to the desired outcome with a knowing that it is yours. Don't allow any room for doubt. When we are being stretched by faith, often the stretch is held to the point when we feel the burn as the outside pressures accumulate and press against us. Number 16, keep going and don't let go of hope. Keep stretching and hold on to hope. Push through until you see it come to pass. Many don't see their desire come to the surface because they give up hope and assume it won't happen if they have to wait longer than what they're comfortable with. Sometimes we can be really hard to work with and demanding that it must happen in the comfort of our own time frame. But that's a form of impatient control, and that blocks the fulfillment. Number 17, settle it as absolute in your heart. Come into a deep knowing that it is already done and start planning on it to be to the point where you act like your prayers are answered, while always trusting in God's timing to show up before any troubles arise. You will start to feel like it has already happened because it's so real to you. It's like putting on fancy clothes at the store that still have the tags on them that haven't been paid for yet, but knowing that God will cover the bill. Put on the garments of promise and trust without a second thought. Number 18. Have faith in God to do this for you. Think that God can and will do it, and not how it cannot happen. You have to trust in God's power, willingness to deliver the request, and ever-presence to move through your situations. Number 19. Visualize often. If God is giving you prophetic dreams or visions of confirmation, play it like a movie over and over in your imagination. If not, create it by faith, by imagining your hopes being done. Make sure to go deep enough into the vision that you feel the sigh of relief. Whenever you enter the feeling stage of faith, there is a sigh of relief, and that is a release. It's the feeling of fulfillment and having the relief that we need. It's a release that the power of the fulfillment is moving. The sigh of relief is the ultimate form of faith, and when you reach that place, the miracle starts to pour out. I think there's only two more left. Number 20. Open your heart to receive with gratitude. Constantly thank God. That opens your heart to receive and helps you stay in a joyful place that believes. It's hard to have doubt when you have a mindset of feeling thankful. When you are thankful, then you've already received something. People naturally feel gratitude after they've received. Number 21. Press into hope above all else. Above all, always press into your hopes. And always keep hoping and hoping and hoping. Always entertain great hopes. Your persistent hopes will lift you into the place of faith. And that will cause your desire to flourish out and push all the fears and doubts away. Faith is the substance of what we hope for and the proof of what we cannot see. And like Robert Frost said, I always entertain great hopes. If you would like to see the written version of this so you can print it out, it's on my website, diamondsfromthedust.com, and you should be able to find it in the diamonds page, which is my word for saying blog posts. They're diamonds. Thank you for listening. I love you so much, and I can't wait to share the next page of this story with you. Have a good night.